that in the midst of the pursuit of trust in God. Okay, so when we're pursuing God by faith, when we are following hard after God, in the midst of this pursuit, it does not exclude lament. As I seek to trust in God, it includes times of lament. What I mean is, growing faith does not eliminate growing pains.
Hi again, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so glad that you are here today and thankful because we're walking in the middle of a series entitled In God We Trust, verse by verse through Psalm 31. Hey, it's often said that great faith is built by great trial. And Robbie, today's message, well, that's what that's all about, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how many times in life that we want to avoid the very trial that might be God's grace in disguise. And that's a point that only mature believers will really start to embrace and allow themselves to surrender to. But that's the exact truth that David has learned and now exhorts his readers to also believe, listen, by faith that God is at work even when we do not see it, or maybe when we do not feel it. And that maybe that's you today, as it is with me so often as well. The faith that it takes in the midst of our trials to say God often does his greatest work, and there we often see his greatest grace. And so I pray that great faith will come upon us as all of us find ourselves in moments of difficulty and in this crazy world, that we can look to him and not lose hope, not give up, and continue to endure in the one who is faithful and will never, ever leave us. I know the Lord is speaking to many today, where you are, probably all, in one way or another, and may you be encouraged again by the truth of God meeting you when you need it most, because he loves you so much. May that be true for you, for me, for all of us today. Amen.
All right, well, in God we trust. Trust even in the middle of trial. Psalm 31, beginning in verse 9, and let's go again to Pastor Robbie.
All right, week number 2 in our series here called In God We Trust, Unwavering Faith Within Turbulent Times. And because this is such an important truth today, and it's such an important truth for us, we want to stick it to you, all right? We want to stick this truth to you. And so we've handed stickers. As you can, you got some stickers in the house today? You got some stickers. So not just kids get to play, all right? We get to play too, all right? But this sticker is a reminder of what, again, is so essential in this path of trust and this walk of faith. So here's our encouragement. We put sometimes a transparent sticker, won't leave a lot of goop behind, which is really great. And you can put it on your steering wheel. That's a good idea. You can put it on your laptop. Forget those other symbols, all right? This is a way better one to remember. You can put it on your bathroom mirror. If that's somewhere you're gonna, you can stick it on your forehead. I don't care, but just somewhere where you will know that it's there and you'll be reminded of what it says. Because imagine what will happen. The verse that is here on the sticker and you commit it to memory, it's one of those things that gets in your heart at the strangest of times and the most unexpected maybe moments. All of a sudden, this verse floods to our mind, renews us, spurs us on in faith, and allows us to give God glory, especially within the times that we need to exercise our faith the most, okay? So this isn't just something to put and just kind of throw it somewhere useless. Use it, be reminded of it, and commit that scripture to memory as we're in this series right now, okay? So with that being said, open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 31. And our sermon title today is Trust Within Trial. Trust Within Trial. This is where trust will be seen. This is where faith will be proven. Here's our text, Psalm 31. Make sure your neighbor has a Bible as well. Right now, we're encouraging each other in the Word of God. This is what God uses to change our lives. Psalm 31, verse 9 says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. David is in the midst of great, tremendous persecution, trial, opposition. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, And he says, my bones waste away. I mean, David's in deep, man. Like, this is tough. He's in a tough spot. He says, because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, as an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me, they run from me. Those who see me in the street, they flee from me. I've been forgotten like one who is dead. I've become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many and terror on every side as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. Here's the turning point, verse 14, first word. But I trust in you, O Lord. I love this. I say, it's such a good word. I pronounce, I declare, I communicate right now to all who are listening. I say you are my God. Amen, church? I say you are my God. My times are in your hand, the sovereignty of God. My times are in your hand, O God. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. And then this is a wonderful phrase. Make your face shine on your servant. Yes, Lord, in this place today, the supernatural God, descending upon his people who love him and trust him. Make your face shine upon your servant. Make this a Holy Spirit supernatural moment. Make this a service that is drenched by the power and the grace of God. Please, Lord, that you may be glorified. Would you do that? Not here to go through the motions, here to encounter you, Lord. We need you. Make your face to shine upon the servants represented here in this room. Save me in your steadfast love. Oh, Lord, let me not be put to shame. For I call upon you, praying to him. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and in contempt. Three words and really three moves that we see within this text today that David was inspired to write here by the Holy Spirit. I want to give them to you straight up and we'll unpack them one at a time. Three main moves. They're this. We see the situation first. Then we're going to see the stand. And then we'll see the supplication, the prayer. So the situation, the stand, and the supplication. Many of you have more questions than answers. Let me help you get those questions answered. Now, let's start with point number one then, which is the situation. The situation is this. I need grace in the midst of my distress. I need grace. I need the grace of God in the midst of my distress. This is what David is saying. Look at verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow. I mean, his language is so strong here. My years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Loved ones, I want you to see, in fact, I need you to see here that in the midst of the pursuit of trust in God. Okay, so when we're pursuing God by faith, when we are following hard after God, in the midst of this pursuit, it does not exclude lament. As I seek to trust in God, it includes times of lament. What I mean is, growing faith does not eliminate growing pains. Growing faith, hear this, does not eliminate groaning hearts. A groaning heart. Great faith includes great trials. And hear this too. Great faith at times will include also great grief. Great faith at times will also include great grief. When the muscle is stretched, exercised, it is literally damaged. It is torn in its fibers. And it's painful when the muscle gets stretched. But then it returns by the glorious creation of God in the human body. It repairs itself and is strengthened and returns stronger. So again, when the muscle is stretched, I'm not sure why I'm pointing to my bicep here. That's a bad example, all right? But if you take a muscle that is there and it's torn, it hurts. But then it's repaired and comes back. That's the same with faith. Faith is the same way. Faith is seen through great effort and great trials. And so when it is torn by the supernatural working of God's Spirit, it is repaired and actually comes back stronger. Look at what Charles Spurgeon said here on this quote. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, storms and tempests are the things that make men tough and hardy mariners. They see the works of the Lord and his great wonders in the deep. Okay, the difficulty of life. But then he says this, so with Christians, I love this phrase, great faith must have great trials. Great faith must have great trials. We have options in this life, we do. If you want life to be easy, if we want things to go smooth, if we don't want any cost, then we can just live in that way. We can live with no effort for the Lord. We can live with no faith. We can make it about ourselves. We can accumulate more possessions. We can look for an easy street. We can run the wide road if we want to, and that'll be easy. But there won't be any faith, and there won't be any power. But if you want to have a great faith, and you want to be used by the Lord, and you want to see him do mighty things in your life, I cannot avoid the reality that great faith must come through great trials. And the culture that we are surrounded in, the culture of compromise, we are pleading with the Lord to make us children of trust. Again, notice the pain that David is in as his eyes are wasted. Put yourself in the shoes of David. His soul and body is wasted also. Verse 10, it says, his life is spent with sorrow, his years with sighing, his strength is failing. He says, my bones waste away. Not exactly a pep talk from David, is it? Right? You're looking at this, you're like, man, like wasting away and eyes filled with grief and the bones all of a sudden. You're just like, man, like it's not a pep talk. Listen, but it is this. It is a faith walk. David's not giving us a pep talk, but in one sense, he is encouraging us with the reality of a faith walk. Notice David's pain was physical. My strength fails, he says. Notice his pain was emotional. I had grief and sighing, he says. Notice his pain was social. People flee from me in the street. Notice his pain was mortal. People are trying to plot and kill me, he says. They're trying to take my life, which is verse 13. There's no doubt, loved ones, that path of trust includes a path of trial. And notice this, if we will see our faith strengthened, at times there will be groaning. At times there will be sighing. At times there will be grieving. At times there will be wasting. This is a reality for those of us who are sincerely following the Lord. There will be times when we have a tremendous amount of pain within our lives as we walk down the path of faith. This is, again, what we see in front of us right now. True faith is not pain-free faith. But I also want you to see here that David's pain is also spiritual. Let's look at verse 10. He says, my strength fails because of my iniquity. So we're learning here. Here's an important principle. Any distress in our lives that is used to reveal sin within our lives is a grace-filled distress. Say that again. Anytime the Lord allows distress to come in, and that distress is used to reveal sin in our lives to draw us closer to the Lord God, that distress within that difficult trial actually contains the grace of God. David saw this. David's main opposition was not anything to do with him. It was outside people who hated him because of his love and his pursuit of God. But within this trial and within his distress, he was also able to see levels of his own iniquity that was drawing him closer to God to be more used by God as well. That's the power of what we're seeing in life. The design of our God in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our distress, that actually includes grace right now. Can you and I stop long enough to thank God and see how God has deposited grace in the midst of our distress? Can we do that? The wise person, the mature believer in Jesus Christ, sees the distress. Probably doesn't like the distress, but is wise enough to look for God's grace in the midst of the trial as he is using this to get our attention and to grow us more like him. The foolish person, the immature person in Christ, the trial comes in and they're like, God, get this away. I don't want any pain. I don't want any suffering. I don't want any trouble. I want life to be easy. I want it to be smooth. I want you to be my genie in a bottle, and I want you to give me my three wishes and make my life all good so I can smile and there's no, get it out, Lord. I don't want the pain. That's foolishness. Because what we're missing is a major part of the element of God's grace is his working in the midst of even our distresses, or especially within the difficulty and the stress that we find within our lives. The author of the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, he He totally got this point, how God's design within distress. And here's what he said here. He says, this is such a beautiful truth in theology of the same. He says, when through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. So God allows us to go in, but it'll never fully consume us. His promise to keep us, be our refuge. For I will be with thee. I love this line. Thy troubles to bless. Now notice here, very, very good wisdom here. Without the troubles, in some sense, there's no real blessing. It's the troubles that God uses to bring blessing to our lives. It's there where the greatest riches are often found in the Lord, in the gospel, and in our development in him. He says, and sanctify to thee thy deepest. Sanctify is set apart, grow more like Jesus Christ. And I use your deepest distress to see you grow in Christ. Incredible wisdom here. God's design within trial. Here's the next verse. I love this one too. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. Thy flame shall not hurt thee. I only wham, wham, wham. Design, design. The flame as a design of God to do what? To what? Thy dross to, dross is garbage. Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Okay. The Lord gives us at times trials filled with distress to burn up the garbage in our lives, get rid of the sin, David said, and then to refine the gold of growing in Jesus Christ more within our lives as well. This is what we're seeing here. When I want to see grace in the midst of my distress, the most powerful turning point in doing that is looking for the grace of God working in the midst of my distress and drawing me closer to him and making me more like his son, Jesus Christ, all by the design of God. I want you to see this also within our text. Notice the progression of dislike for David in verses 11 and 12. Notice the progression that's happening here, and we'll draw some application from this. Notice he says, I have become a reproach. Then he says, I'm an object of dread. Then he says, people see me in the street and flee. Then he says, I've been forgotten like one who is dead. So notice the distress of David includes a progressive dislike from others. Now, what do we take from this? Well, let's be wise enough. I think we said this last week briefly. Let's say it again, okay? Loved ones, cultural Christianity in this nation, that time's over, all right? That's done. That's a couple generations ago where everyone seemed to go to church and everyone talked about God and everyone had some kind of belief in Jesus, some kind of level, and it was kind of culturally accepted. That's the way it went. Okay, that's done. You get that? You get that? Time is done, all right? No longer is Christianity cultural within this nation. The whole momentum is going away from this. This does not make us fearful at all. It's just recognizing the reality of the situation that we are living in. So don't be afraid of this at all, okay? Don't be afraid. Trust God, man, right here, right? And God we trust. And God we trust. Woohoo, woohoo, all right? This is it. This is a fly, okay? And God we trust. Now listen, now listen. So deaf community clapping. I love them so much, all right? Listen, listen, listen. Recognize this, okay? What we're starting to just see a little bit is the reality of our brothers and sisters in the vast majority of the Christian world across this globe. I mean, our brothers and sisters in all these nations, they've never known acceptance. They've been fighting for any bit of anything in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been harassed. They've been hated. They've been hunted. The vast majority of history has the church written in the context of persecution. Our little experiment here in Canada for the last 120, 50 years as it's been, that whole thing, like this foundation on biblical truth and Christian principles and giving God glory and writing scripture on your founding parliament bill, I mean, that whole thing, that's the exception in the history of the world. That's great. Praise God. So much grace. But we have been used to something that is completely atypical for the rest of Christian history. And so what we're doing is we're just starting to kind of clue in with the reality of what most people over time who have followed Christ have really experienced. Yeah, not being afraid, not being afraid. God we trust and God we trust. But I just want us to relate to David as we pull this to the New Testament as well. Look at the progression here of what's happening for David. He says, I become a reproach. And then from there, I'm an object of dread. And then from there, it says, they see me in the street and they run from me. They're speaking evil of me. Then they, object of dread, so everything, they run away. And then this happens next. I've been forgotten like one who's dead. And then he says, I've become like a broken vessel. So just pause right there. So here's the progressive dislike of the people he's encountering in his pursuit of Lord. But what I want you to see here as we go to the New Testament, notice all these things. Then here's the next one. Notice it's just like, all these things are just like Jesus. And all these things our Savior went through, of reproach and object of dread, people fleeing from him, ultimately wanting to kill him. He was totally busted and broken for us to die on the cross for our sins. This is the example he left. And this is what Jesus says, John 15, he says this, he says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it has hated you. So these are the words of Christ preparing his church for the future in him. But then he says this in the very next verse, he says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. See, this is what's happening right now within our culture. Many portions of the church, okay, are starting to become like the world. They want to be like, man. They want to be accepted. So they start adapting the theology and the doctrine of our world. They start leaving the truth of God. They start becoming like everyone else around them. And the world loves them. The world thinks, pat them on the back. We're all good because we all believe in the same stuff that's completely opposite of what God says. You want to be like the world, you be loved. It's easy. That's the easy way to do it. But here's where the sifting will take place to find out who's really in for Christ. Jesus says, but because you are not of the world, true followers of Christ, but I chose you out of the world, and therefore the world hates you. Not my words, Jesus' words. Talking to his disciples, preparing them for what? But see, again, we're not trying to be hated. But the reality is to follow Christ. There's this enemy called Satan, and he hates Jesus. And he hates the fall. And he will get any agenda he can to rise up in a culture to come again. But not afraid. Filled with love and boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit, but understanding the reality of what David is going through, we heard. Now, here's where I get excited about this reality. What I get excited is, without the cost in the church, what happens is a malaise comes upon the church. And there's so much apathy and so much complacency and lethargy. Because without any cost at all, the church is here and we accumulate our possessions and we want more money and we live for the next vacation and we make it all about ourselves and we just want to focus on our home and make it look prettier and driving all these little things. And God's over here somewhere, but there's all these other things we're living for. And there's no passion. There's no power. There's no purity in the church because God is one of many other gods in our lives. That's been happening for decades now across this land. But when the sifting starts to happen and all of a sudden there's a cost to becoming a true follower of Jesus Christ, the false ones, they fall away fast. And then you're left with a dedicated, cost-agreeing disciples of Jesus Christ being purified by the gospel, strengthened in true faith in God, living for him as opposed to the world. And then you have a people pursuing him, loving him, inviting the power of God, and you will find God's power there, God's joy there, and a transformation we've never known before. As the cost increases, the joy, the power, and the glory of God also increases because there's actually a group of people gathering together who actually want to love God all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the power of the cost being raised and the sifting starting to happen. And that's why, honestly, I get excited. It's going to hurt, but it's going to be great. Because I think we'll see so much glory and power. And again, that's when God does his best stuff. And this is the situation of David. And this is the situation for us as well. And it takes us to the next one, is the stand. Point number two, here's the stand. I will trust in God in the face of my enemy. So we have our situation, but now we say, okay, but what are we going to stand upon? I'll stand upon God. I will trust in God in the face of my enemies. So look at verse 13. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Now, I want us to feel here how overwhelmed David is within verse 13, okay? Again, live in the text. He says, the whispering of many, that's vicious slander. We know what it's like when people speak viciously and slander us. It hurts. It's devastating. David is going through this all around him. He says, terror on every side. People scheming against him. People plotting to kill him. Okay, so just again, place yourself in a moment in David's shoes. This is your reality. What are you tempted with? You're tempted with fear. You're tempted with insecurity. You're tempted with paranoia. People to get me, man. They're trying to kill me. The wolves are circling, hungry for blood. And there doesn't seem to be any place of escape. But again, listen. In trials and testing like this, this is where faith is truly proven. In trials like the loved ones, this is when the counterfeits flee. They just run. This is when the false converts, they cave in. In trials and cost environments like this, this is where the prosperity gospel disintegrates. Because there's no power in that. It's not about the Lord, it's about us. This is when self-esteem movements reveal their utter desolation. Because there's nothing rooted in God. Again, it's just about making myself feel better, of telling me stuff about the power of positive thinking. And this is what's going to happen. The church begins to get sifted, but the pure and the strong remain and say, it's the Lord we trust in. And the turning point, again, comes in verse 14, the very first word. Can you see it there? Verse 14, the very first word, but in the midst of all this attack, notice the true shield of David in the midst of his most straining times. Notice despair. Now, right now in this room, there's forms of despair trying to hit many people. It's what the enemy does. Tremendous attacks of discouragement, depression, despair, being distraught, downtrodden. And these arrows, these flaming arrows that come in at us and try to get in our mind and make us think irrational thoughts and take us down paths that hurt us so much. Notice David's shield here, his shield that deflects these arrows coming at him. Ultimately, of course, this is the shield of what? It's the shield of faith. And notice his shield of faith, right? People trying to plot to kill him. He says, but I trust in you, God. I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. You are my God. I say, O God, my times are in your hand. In Ephesians 6, in the chapter of the armor of God, as the flaming arrows of the evil one, as they come against us, and the reality of that happening every day, Paul says, take up the shield of faith. This is the power right here. Take up the shield of faith to protect ourselves from these flaming arrows trying to ruin our hearts. And in verse 15, David says, the hand of the enemies is coming in, but he says, but I know whose hand my life truly rests in. See that phrase in verse 15, my times are in your hand? This is a very powerful statement referring to the sovereignty of God. In fact, Psalm 31 verse 15 is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8 verse 28. For those who love God, God works all things together for their good. This is the equivalent of that, both stating God is in control and he uses all these things in my life ultimately for his glory and for my greatest good. Listen to this, loved ones. If you and I are going to walk by faith and not by sight, we have to have a very strong sense of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. If we don't hold tight to the sovereignty of God, then we don't know who's ultimately in control, and that's where our faith will begin to crumble. I need the doctrine of God's sovereignty, because if God's not in control, then who is? And if God's not in full control, man, then what in the world are we relying on, and who in the world are we resting in?
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time on Live in the Light.